I was invited to share the word tonight by our pastors, Calvin and Barbara, and the Lord had other plans, which it was exactly what I had in my heart to do for the youth and young adults who are going back to school. You know, one of the things that I felt so strongly, I've been feeling this so strongly, is what Eric was talking about earlier, about having a broken heart for the lost. And when I first started in ministry back in when I went to Bible school in 94, we would go to different towns after town after town, and I have won souls. I can honestly say that I have won souls for the glory of God, for God's glory, and I won souls for Jesus in every town. I'm talking about Agua Prieta, Frontera, I mean in every town, Esqueda, and some of them are serving the Lord today. And it was this something called compassion that would come in the form of fire. You know, it's just, I can't even explain it. But just a strong compassion for their lost. Tepache, Divisaderos, Moctezuma, Villa Hidalgo, Huachineras, Arivavi. All those towns we've been to ministering to the lost. Ministering to the brokenhearted. Other people have been healed of their sicknesses. Miraculously, just healed by the power and the fire that was like just within me. You know, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through some of the things the Lord gave me real quick. I have to have two glasses because the letters in my Bible are smaller than the ones I wrote on my notes. You know, in Psalms 39, if you have your Bible, verse 3, it says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burned. Or I think that probably means like meditation. As I meditated, the fire burned. And then spoke I with my tongue. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him. See, Jeremiah was a prophet of God, called to prophesy, to the Jews. And he was persecuted left and right. I mean, he was so much persecuted that he did not want to speak for God anymore. Look, some Christians get that way. You can get so persecuted at work, at school, or where you live, where you just say, you know what, I've had it. I don't want to preach no more. I don't want to say anything about Jesus no more because every time I open my mouth, I get attacked. Well, that was Jeremiah. But Jeremiah, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones. This to me, I can say I've lived it, honestly. And, I've lived it. And I understand what Jeremiah means by that. Because the word, the Lord gave his word. And that word produced faith in your heart, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Whereby we cry out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. And that same word that you've heard and you read and meditated at your home and heard in the radio and heard behind this pulpit, that same word on the inside of you, hey, you have to speak it forth. Or you can turn it off if you want to, but sometimes it begins to burn within you. As you meditate, it just begins to burn and burn, and you can't help but to speak it forth with power. And that anointing, I call it compassion because that's what happened to me. Just the compassion. And it's a word that I can tell you what it means in the dictionary, but I cannot tell you what it feels like when it's burning on the inside of you. I can tell you about the compassion Jesus had for the multitudes, but I cannot tell you what it really means unless you've lived it. Since I've been here in Douglas and working and having to provide for my family, and it's like I kind of lost that. I want it back. I want it back. I want to be a soul winner as I was. And again, when I was in Bible school in 94, honestly, really, I can honestly say I've won more souls then than I ever have in my whole, all these 22 years I've been preaching the gospel. And the first few years of walking with Jesus, we were just saturated with the Word of God in school. And then I had to translate and just saturate it. Not only did I hear it, but I had to repeat it in Spanish and just saturate it, just inundated with God's Word. I've heard angels sing. I've heard the Lord. I've seen visions. God gave me a vision about Hecuri. He took me to that town in a vision. And I can honestly say to you, my brothers and sisters, I don't know whether I was in the body or whether I was just taking, or that my body stay in my dorm room, or that just my spirit go. I don't know, but God knows. But I was wide awake, and I put my arms like right back like this, when suddenly I was not in my room anymore. You see, as you drive into Hecuri, you go down the hill, and there is a sign that says, 600 habitantes. And in front of that sign, you can see the river go by the town, and you can see the houses, some low, some are high, just kind of like Nacozari, kind of like Bisbee. But where the town was supposed to be, there was this great hole. And I said, Jesus? Jesus was standing next to me. I could not see his face. I'm guessing he's about 5'11", but I could not see his face, and I would turn, and before I can turn and look at his face, he said, I want you to fill this hole with my word. And just, boom, I was back in. Bam, I was back on my bed, and I said, what was that? That was a vision of the Holy Ghost. And I believe God wants to do that for you. I really do. I want to get back to that. You know, I can't really get into all my message because of the sake of time. I'll do it next time. But I'll let you know. You know, remember the time when Jesus said in Luke chapter 12:49, he said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be not already kindled? You know, I believe when Jesus said, fire, I'm here to send fire on the earth. You know, as other men heard that saying from Jesus, you know, they were thinking, oh, hey, Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah that the Lord was supposed to send. Oh, maybe this Jesus is here to take over the whole planet. He just said that he's going to send fire on the whole earth. Maybe he's trying to say that he's going to destroy all the ones who are not in agreement with him. No, I honestly believe that when Jesus said, I have come to send fire upon the whole earth, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Huh? He was talking about the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, this Jesus that is to come, John the Baptist said, hey, I baptize you with water, but this Jesus is going to baptize you. Not only is he going to baptize you, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, a lot of times, you know, we look at people and we're fed up, kind of like some of the disciples that were with Jesus, and they wanted to bring fire upon people. They had the wrong idea. No, Jesus is not about that. Jesus is about winning the lost, getting people saved, getting people delivered, getting people healed, you know, and just loving on people. Just that compassion, that fire that he had for the multitudes. Hey, he is our example. He is our king, you know. This past Sunday, when Pastor Calvin preached and Pastor Barbara shared the prophecies, as they were preaching and teaching the Word of God, that was a wonderful service, wasn't it? How many can agree that was a powerful service? I was so fired up. And then, you know, it was hard for me to sit there. You know, I hold back a lot of times. I don't know what happened to me. But before, I would jump up and down and jump and run around in circles and just couldn't contain myself. But I've been holding that back. I want to be me. I'm tired of holding back and being, you know, I don't know, just holding back. kind of like having a seatbelt on it. You want to get up and you can't because it's holding you back. It's holding you down. I want to be free. And when Pastor Barbara was sharing about the prophecies, oh, praise the Lord, those prophecies. They're most powerful, and they prophesy of what God wants to do here. And I believe that as the prophets speak forth those prophecies, we are to have, you know, I believe we're to have those prophecies written down. Because I believe that we are to repeat them. We are to confess those prophecies and let the faith work. And the more you confess them, you know, you call those things that are not now as though they were, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. You know, I don't believe it's just for us to hear it every once in a while. I believe we should have copies of it and begin to confess them ourselves at home. Every time we remember, begin to read forth and declare in the name of Jesus, by faith, those prophecies that the Lord has spoken forth over Douglas and over this church. Hey, this church right here is supposed to be filled up. You know, I can see these seats filled up with souls and new families. Not only are we going to be teaching in English, but we're going to be teaching in Spanish too. Have an English service and a Spanish service. English service all in English, and Spanish service, of course, all in Spanish. Amen. I mean, souls, souls, souls. That's what Jesus is about. King David was about souls. He loved the people. Oh, the Bible says that he had a heart just like God wanted it to be. He had a heart according to God's heart. And God's heart is about having compassion for the people. Oh, he was a real king. And not only was he a king, he was a priest too. And the Bible calls us that we are kings and priests in Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me. And we have a job to do. And I'll tell you, I can honestly say that we have fallen short of it. Before I read the next verse of Scripture, this happened to me, I think, last month. And part of June and July, this happened to me. It's pretty awful because it hadn't happened to me in a long time. It used to happen to me when I was in Bible school, but it begun to happen to me again, where I'm sitting there, not reading the Bible as I should, not praying as I should, but watching TV as I should not. I mostly watch the news and documentaries. I love that kind of stuff. When suddenly, I see the people in the news, I see people in different documentaries about different countries of the world and what they're going through and all this. When suddenly came, I say these words from my heart. Oh my God, they're all going to hell? Oh Lord, from my heart I say, Lord, please have mercy. You mean to say, Lord, all these souls are going to hell? Just a suddenly on the inside of me. And right after that, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Just a conviction. And the Lord saying to me, hey, get up, wake up. It's time to win the lost. I said, it's time to win the lost. You know, Eric was feeling the same thing. He was talking about that before the service. He was saying something about him having a broken heart for the lost. Remember? Well, that's the Holy Ghost. He wants the lost saved. And no matter who it is, whether drunk or sober, on drugs or not, he wants those people saved. Crippled, maimed, he wants those people saved, healed, and delivered. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. New ministry is going to happen. It's going to happen. Hey, that's what Jesus did. You know, he did the most work he did on in his ministry was in Capernaum. How do you say that in English? Capernaum. Thank you. I mean, in Capernaum, Jesus, oh my, he healed the woman with the issue of blood. He healed men who were blind. And in Capernaum, he did the most miracles in Capernaum. It was in Capernaum when he said, hey, if anyone thirsts, if anyone be hungry and thirst, and they hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's when he said, come unto me. Remember that scripture? And I will give you rest. Remember that scripture? It was in Capernaum when he said that. But listen to what I'm going to say next. You know what happened in Capernaum? It was the place where he did the most ministry. It was the place where he did and performed the most miracles. And yet, Capernaum did not accept him. He said about Capernaum in another verse of Scripture, hey, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than for you, Capernaum. Because if they had seen the miracles done in this city, if they had seen the healings, if they had seen the Messiah, they would have repented by now. But you know what? It's all right. There's some people that were saved there too. Amen. These people should have had revival going. And it's kind of much like this is where I'm going with this. It's kind of like our situation now. It's kind of like the way the church is nowadays, where it's complacent. You know, you see a few people saved. Oh, well, that's nice. You know, you see another person get healed. You see a family come to Christ and where there was no peace, now there is peace. Oh, and we all say, oh, praise the Lord. I mean, we're not moved, but God's going to move us. He's going to bring forth that fire as never before, the one I'm talking about. He is the God that answers with fire. Remember the story about Elijah? Give me 15 more minutes. Elijah was sent to the prophet Ahab. I'm sorry, the king Ahab. Is that how you say it, Ahab? Akab? Ahab? And King Akab, King Ahab, was the wicked, wicked king of Israel. He had forsaken the Lord, and he had stopped following the commandments of God and went after idol worship. And God said to Elijah, hey, I want you to go over there to Ahab and tell him that the rains are coming. Because you see, at that time, there was a famine in all of Samaria, and there was no rain. And God said, hey, I want you to go over there and tell him I'm going to make it, and I'm going to cause it to rain. But it's funny, as you read that chapter of 1 Kings, chapter 18, all the things that he went through first to get the rain a-coming. He had to first, get rid of all the false prophets of Baal, which were 450 of them. And he went over there, and he saw Ahab, and he said, hey, bring all the people together. Say what? I said, bring all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. I said, bring all the people to Mount Carmel. And then also, by the way, bring all those 450 false prophets of Baal. Am I saying Baal right? Thank you, Nina. I get my English and my Spanish crossed sometimes. Baal. And so King Ahab, okay, I'll do that. No, but first, guess what he told them? He said to the prophet of God, he was so twisted that he saw the Lord's anointed and had the gall to say to the Lord's anointed, hey, have you come here to trouble all of Israel again? Ha ha, said Elijah. I'm not here to trouble all of Israel, but it's thou. You're the one that's causing the trouble. You're the one that has forsaken the Lord God Almighty. You're the one that is in idolatry. And by the way, your wife, Jezebel, she's killed lots of the Lord's prophets. And only 100 of them have survived by your servant, what's his name? Obadiah, because he was a God-fearing man, but he submitted to King Ahab because he was a godly man. He was one of the governors of Ahab, and so he submitted to him, and when he saw that Jezebel was killing the Lord's prophets, he took 100 of the Lord's prophets and hid them by 50s in caves and fed them there bread and water where they survived. Well, anyway, they gathered all the people of Israel. Boy, how did I get to this long story? They gathered all the people of Israel, and they brought all the prophets of Baal. And Prophet Elijah said, you know what? Let's make us a holocaust, and we're going to bring a bullock or a bull or a sacrifice. And you go ahead and pick your bullock and cut them into pieces. And you make your holocaust over here, where you're going to do the sacrifices. And you lay them there, and I'm going to lay my one over here where the old holocaust was, the one you guys destroyed. And you You cut them up to pieces, but only don't add fire to it. And you call upon your God, and I'm going to call upon my Lord to see which God answers. But before they did that, you know what Elijah said to all the people of Israel? He said, how long? I imagine he was like this. He couldn't understand it. He said to the people, to God's chosen, by the way, he said, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? He said, if God be God, be done with it, then follow him. If Baal be God, hey, be done with it, then follow him. See, these people of God, they didn't know where to go. They didn't know whether to go with Baal or whether to follow the Lord. And I had an experience this past week where I took one of my clients to Old Bisbee because they like to drink coffee at that coffee place there. It's called the Bisbee Coffee Shop. And we met up with a couple of his friends. One was a sergeant major, and the other guy who had fought in Vietnam, went three tours in Vietnam, and he was in South America and all over the world. And there another guy came, his name was, I forget his name, I think it's Michael. And so this sergeant major, when he found out I was a Christian and a preacher of the gospel, he began to ask me questions and kind of like attack me. And then this other guy came in. And so now, not only did I have the sergeant major, but I had this guy, Michael, attacking me and saying all kinds of things about, hey, I've been to around the world, and I've studied the Torah, and I've gone to seen Buddhists, and I've just been all over the world. And I don't know so much about this Christianity. And you know what? I used to believe, but it's not, now I'm confused because this guy says over here he's Jesus, but then this guy over here says they had the same experience. Same thing with Sergeant Major. He was saying this exact same thing before he arrived. Well, this is where this message comes in. Elijah, the prophet of God, said, hey, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. If Baal be Baal, then you follow him if you want to. But then he said to the prophets, hey, you call upon your Lord. You got your holocaust ready. You got your bull ready. Go ahead and call upon him. From morning until noon, they called upon their God. All the false prophets, all 450 of them, and there was 400 others. I don't remember what their names were from what. Sorry, I remember here. But then, guess what happened? Does anyone know? After they called upon their false gods and all their idol worshiping thing, and they were even had the gall to prophesy, and then when they saw that nothing was happening, according to their own customs, they cut each other. They would cut themselves, and it was just a bloody mess. These imagine 450 false prophets cutting themselves, and all that blood all over the place. And then Elijah said, hey, has your God answered you? It was about 12 p.m., you know, lunchtime. Maybe he is asleep, or maybe he's in a journey. You know, maybe you should yell louder. And so they began to yell louder. And guess what happened? They were waiting for fire to come from heaven, and it never came. And he said, okay, it's my turn. And he called all of Israel together, and he said, you know what? You see the holocaust that they broke down, that I built back up together? I want you to dig a trench around it, and I want you to soak that thing. What do they call those buckets of water? I forget. So they filled up three canisters, big canisters of water, and they wet all the holocaust. How many of you know that if you wet wood and you try to light it on fire, what happens? It won't light. You may get a little bit of smoke, but it's not going to light. You know, you don't want to pour gasoline in it because if you have water, it might make, you know. So he said, do it again. Say what? We just poured water on it. You want another pot of it there? Yeah, do it again. And so they poured more water on the holocaust where the bullock was. the sacrifice, the offering for the Lord was. He said, are you done? Do it again. And they did it again. So much so that the trench that they had dug around it was full of water. Guess what happened? Does anyone know what happened? The Bible says that he called upon the God that answereth with fire. I said, listen now. He called upon the God that answereth with fire. I said, he called upon the God that answereth with fire. And when he called upon the Lord God, he sent that fire. But before that happened, I just remembered. Thank you, Holy Ghost. No, I think it was after. And then God burned all of the Holocaust. It burned so hot that the Bible says it kind of licked away the water that was around it. And it burned hot. And it created a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And the Lord Father God smelled it. Ah, he said, that's what I'm talking about. Because he is the God that answers with fire. What did Jesus say? He said in Luke chapter 12:49. He said, I am come to send fire on the earth. The Lord God, our Father God, he has given us a promise. It's called the promise of the Father. And it's this Holy Ghost. When John the Baptist said, hey, I baptize you with water, but Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is that what I'm talking about. When that fire hits you on the inside, you're not going to be able to contain the words of the Lord that are in your heart. Because it's going to be burning so hot that you're going to have to speak it forth. And when you do, oh my. Elijah said this, Lord, I have done all this. Listen to this. After the Holocaust was burned by the power of the Lord, he said, Lord, I have done all this according to your word. Elijah didn't think this up. Elijah didn't dream this up. Hey, maybe he wasn't scratching his head. Well, Lord, how can I do this? How can I get these people to believe? And how can we get rid of these 450 false prophets of Baal? He didn't think that up. No, the Bible says that he was obeying the word of the Lord. See, God was speaking to him as he did all this. Well, let's get back to the rain. In the beginning of that chapter, it's funny how the Lord sends them, hey, I want you to go to Ahab, right? Ahab. And I want you to go over there and pray that the rain come. But he didn't tell Elijah, hey, but not before you do the Holocaust. and by the way, and get rid of all those 450 false prophets from Baal. But I'm just sending you to go pray for Ahab right now. You know, it's funny. The Lord sends you to go do something for him. But he doesn't tell you the whole plan. First you go, but then you realize, hey, minute, I got to do this other thing before I get over there. And that's what happened to Elijah. About the rain, Elijah said to one of his servants, hey, I can hear. No, actually, he didn't say that to his servant. He said to Ahab, Ahab, I can hear. He was saying spiritually, I guess, an abundance of rain coming. And you best get on your chariot and leave, because if the rain comes, you ain't going to be able to ride that chariot down the mountain. And he said to his servant as Ahab left, hey, servant of mine, why don't you go check and see any clouds out there? And he went. I'm almost done. I'm sorry. I don't know. How do I do this, Nina? And so he went. Hey, any clouds out there? Elijah said, no, I don't see no clouds. And go back again. Any clouds out there? No, I don't see any clouds out there. And he went back again. He did this 7 times until he saw a little cloud, like over across, I don't know what sea is it, Mediterranean? I don't know. And he saw this little cloud over the sea. And Hey, he went back to Elijah. Hey, I see a little cloud like the size of a man's hand. He said, that'll do it. It's a going. It's a happening. And before you knew it, there were some black clouds all over that place. So God did what he said he was going to do through the prophet Elijah. Story doesn't end there. And as the rain came, the Bible says, you imagine Ahab with a chariot and a horse. Can you imagine that? Say yes if you do. I know you probably want to get home. You got to work tomorrow and stuff. The Bible says, I've seen Calvin do this once when he was preaching. The Bible says that Elijah girded up his loins, like tying up his belt, you know, because he's going to start getting ready to do some running. And the Bible says that after he had prayed for the rain to come and it came, he did what the Lord asked him to do. He took off a running. Because the Bible says the hand of the Lord was still upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins. And he went, whoo, whoo! He started running so fast that he outran. Listen to this. Ahab had a head start with a chariot and horse. He outran by the Spirit of the Lord, King Ahab. And they got to Jezreel. When suddenly comes to your life, and I believe that if you're hearing this message today, it's by no accident. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, last verse of scripture. Oh, maybe. Can we go to 8:30? I mean, we only got 7 minutes. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord, look at what Isaiah said. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Now, you cannot sit there and tell me that you have not had this happen to you, where the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and you have a decision to make. You're either going to decide to listen to what God has to say through your prayer, or you're going to roll over in your bed and go back to sleep. Are we going to obey the Lord like Elijah obeyed? Bless God, he was sent over to go pray for rain. And look at all the other stuff he had to do. I forgot the part where he killed all the 450 false prophets. Bible says he slew them with a sword. All of them. One man against 450 false prophets. Guess what? There is more of us than whatever they have. You use the name of Jesus, and all of heaven will back you up. Concerning your children, your wife, your husband, your family, your school, your work, rise up. For the Lord wants to wake us up. Give ear to what he's saying. Give ear to what he's saying. Now, who's going to do all this? I'm going to finish with this. Who's going to do all this? Is it the prophets of today? Is it the apostles? Is it the pastor? Evangelists? Teachers? Sure, they do those things. No, it's everyone in the body. You may not feel worthy. You may think, hey, who's going to listen to me? And God says to you, hey, son, I'm listening to you. And God says to you, hey, daughter, I'm listening to you. Hey, I have placed those words in your heart for you to speak forth. I'm listening to you. I'm waiting for you to speak it forth. I'm listening to you. Amen. Speak forth those words that the Lord has given you. You know what? I think I better stop. I can't even find. Well, yes, I can. Just a minute. I'll read this real quick. Did you know you're chosen? Hey, God chose you. You didn't choose him. You are the chosen ones to do this thing. The things of God are within you. He has chosen you. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. I'll finish with this, I promise. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. You can do these things. You can do these things. God the Father is listening to you. He's waiting for you to speak forth that word that has been placed in your heart. Let it burn hot. Let it burn hot. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen. Yay! And things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh shall glory, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He said, hey, I am listening to you. You are God's chosen. Just like Elijah was God's chosen. How about that? You can say to the devil, put that in your pipe and smoke it. How about that? That's you. That's me. And we got it. It's on the inside. Amen. Stand up. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Father, for each person that's here, and even the ones who are not here, who are supposed to be here. Now I know some can't be here because they're working. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that by the power of the Holy Ghost and fire, that they suddenly come in their lives and that they suddenly realize, hey, I am chosen to speak forth the wonderful things of the Lord. I am chosen to declare and prophesy the wonderful things of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that suddenly. In the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus that Wednesday nights, not only is every seat going to be filled, but we're also going to have Spanish services too. And those seats are going to be filled too. And we're going to be in unity. The English speakers with the Spanish speakers. The spirit of unity operates in this church in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, before we go, does anyone need prayer? I'd like to ask that before we go. I don't know. Maybe you need something in your life. Well, God is here. God is here to meet that something you need. If you need prayer tonight, come up. And if you're okay, then praise the Lord. Glory to God. You need prayer? Hallelujah. I need prayer too. Who's going to pray for me? God, Lord, I know. I got all these glasses, Lord, and one for seeing close and one for seeing far. I only pray that you allow me to see in the Spirit too. And you have, Lord. I thank you. What do you need, Peter? Is that all? Oh, that's nothing for God. Oh, my. And is that all? Oh, my God. You got it. The Lord says to you, you got it. Amen. Just raise up your hands. Father, I just set myself in agreement with my brother. You know the need. You know his heart. And before, you know, I say what you want me to say to him, I want to say something. Peter, you're a blessing to me. You really are, Peter. You're a blessing to me. And you bless me. Your faithfulness, God will reward. And Father, in the name of Jesus, what is it, Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, the Lord says you've been faithful. Therefore, you shall eat the good of the land. You will eat the good of the land, and you'll have more than enough. For I am the God of more than enough. You shall have an abundance. Oh, yes. You shall have an abundance. Yes, Lord. Do you desire to be in a ministry full time? Father, and Jesus, me too. Both Peter and I are believing, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, to be in the ministry full time. But we know, Father, that everything has its time. And Father, in the meanwhile, we believe you right now for that special door to open for my brother so that he can go through it and enter into his new job, a place where he's going to be a blessing and a light of the gospel. And thank you for that new place for him to live. And thank you for that new car. And then let's not forget, thank you for his new wife. In the name of Jesus. Can we agree with him for that? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If it's personal, you don't have to.
I just feel like I needed to come.
Really?
Yeah.
Me too. I need it. I need to. You know, I'm telling you, that suddenly came. And I was like, oh, so like ashamed. Oh my God, what have I been doing? Oh, working, taking care of my family, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh God, oh, please forgive me. Don't let them go to hell. Oh, give me an opportunity to preach your word to these people. Let it be so now that Nina and I preach the word to these people, that they be born again, filled with the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing upon Nina's life, the word of prophecy that you have given her. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Nina, I don't want to embarrass you, but you know, I just sense some hurts in your heart. I don't know, a little bit. There's something there. I don't know. I'll pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, you know her heart. And if there is any healing to be done in there, I ask you, Father, to heal her heart and allow her to see the desires of her heart. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for the souls that are going to come to the kingdom because of the ministry of Nina and Mitchell. I just thank you right now for the souls. Not only are they young people, but they're older people too. Because they have grown, Father. They have grown. They have matured spiritually. They're at a higher level now. And I thank you for the adults too, Father, that are coming in. In Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. And I set myself in agreement with her, with whatever she's got in her heart. Whatever, I just set myself in agreement with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Speak it. Speak it. Say it. Anybody else? We're all good? Who says that? Oh, Duck Dynasty. We're all good? Okay. Well, God bless you, and we love you, and I love you. Pray for me, because I can be a rascal at times. I mean, I don't mean it, but you know. But I love you. Really, I do. In the name of Jesus, go forth in the name of Jesus, in the power of his might, and in the fire of his compassion. Amen.